We're continuing our study of the burial of Jesus. Welcome to our study here on the Radio Bible Course. We're dealing with the end of John chapter 19 that tells us that a man named Joseph from Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews, asked for the body of Jesus from Pilate. And he was joined by a man named Nicodemus, the one who had come to Jesus by night and asked him questions. That was recorded in John chapter 3. It says, in John 19, they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in that place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, as the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. We should observe, first of all, that these two men, who were not openly disciples of Jesus, came to provide more than a decent burial of the body of Jesus, and in doing so had nothing to gain by this connection to him. On the other hand, those who had been open disciples of Jesus for more than 3 years fled for their lives after he was arrested. What a contrast. If there is a lesson here for us, it's this. There may be many secret disciples of Jesus today. Well, if that be true, why don't they come out in the open and admit that they are believers in Christ? Why don't they identify with His church and join a church? Friends, there may be many good reasons. First of all, they may have discovered that the church, by and large, does not proclaim the Jesus of the Bible. As they read the Bible and discover what Jesus was interested in, what He gave His life for, they find a big contrast in what churches are interested in today. And secondly, they don't find churches giving priority to teaching the only thing given by our Lord to His disciples. And that was the inspired Word of God. Think of it. The only thing Jesus left with those disciples. No property, no money, no inheritance on this earth, nothing material. And yet people are occupied with things other than the precious Word of God which came by the inspiration of the Spirit. Then there may be another reason why people are not admitting to being Christians today. They may be embarrassed to identify with so-called Christians whose priorities are not evangelizing the lost or learning the Word of God. And I think that's a great reason for not identifying with some people. Instead, they find in our churches an emphasis on large building programs, fundraising, church programs, protest marches, and politics. I have discovered in my years of Bible study and teaching that people are not as ashamed of Jesus as they are of some of His followers, and they don't want to be identified with some of those people with their strange ideas. Well, be that as it may, Joseph and Nicodemus took over the responsibility of burying the body of Jesus. Now, in preparing the body for burial, they did not treat the body as they did in Egypt. In Egypt, they took the brain out of a person and took out his intestines. Then they mummified the body. They wrapped it, and in their own secret way of doing that, they preserved the body. That, however, was not the Jewish custom, but it was the Jewish custom to wash the body and to wrap it with cloths like bandages. And in between the folds of those bandages, they put spices of myrrh and aloes. And it says here in the text that Nicodemus brought enough spices for a king. Perhaps John wants to show us that in spite of the way Jesus was treated by the Jews, how his own people rejected him, how the Pharisees and chief priests who knew the Bible rejected him and would not accept his testimony nor the testimony of John the Baptist about him. Yet perhaps John is trying to tell us that Jesus was a king. For he tells us about the 100 pounds weight, which is equivalent to 70 pounds in our weight system. And that's a lot. That cost a considerable amount of money. Well, after they prepared the body, they put him in a new tomb. The text tells us that it was a new tomb, and we learn from some other gospels that it was Joseph's own new tomb. You see, he was a wealthy man, and he had this tomb prepared, perhaps for himself and members of his family. But no one had ever been buried in the tomb. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, at the beginning of this Passover week, he rode on a colt, and the Bible tells us it was a colt on which no man had ever ridden. Now, at his death, his body is being placed in a tomb which had never been used. It's new. History tells us that it was the custom for kings to be honored by the people in a particular city or country by the dedication of something new. For example, they might give him a horse which had never been ridden. It was kind of a sanctified horse, only for the king to ride on. Also, they might build a new road when they knew the king or the emperor was coming. And that's alluded to back in Isaiah, where it talks about making the crooked straight and making the rough smooth. They always wanted to have a road that would be comfortable for the visiting emperor to enter the city on. That was a way of honoring him. So the Spirit here is apparently showing us in this Gospel of John that although Jesus was rejected and treated as a criminal, he was nevertheless a king, worthy of new things. With these two important men stepping forward to bury the body of Jesus, I'm reminded of what Paul wrote about important people and the gospel. Remember that there were 70 council members on the Sanhedrin. We have two of them here who apparently have believed in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul calls attention to the fact that there weren't many important people who believed. I'm referring to 1 Corinthians 1:26. He wrote, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Well, from a statement like that, we can determine that we should not expect to find many people of high birth, not many rich, not many so-called great people. The church instead would be filled with many, many common people, including slaves. And so it was, as the history of the early church reveals. Well, we can expect also that there will be a few officials, a few from high places who will become disciples of Jesus, but most of the crowd is not going to be from that part of society. And that leads me to observe that organizations which have been formed to try to reach high society or the wealthy or the senators in Washington are not going to be very productive. Some will be won, to be sure, and perhaps it's worth the effort, but don't expect wholesale conversions from groups like that because God has not called many of those. It's clear from the Word. The early churches were filled with slaves, common peoples, farmers, some merchants, and a sprinkling of business people, but not many of those. And because of the common people in there, people without educations for the most part, the church had to become a teaching church, and that blessed the church. It caused it to grow and multiply. Then those with limited educations got to understand the scriptures, and they learned from the apostles what Jesus had taught and what his priorities were. And what do we find happening? When the persecution came in Acts chapter 8, all of the disciples were scattered except the apostles, and we learn from Acts chapter 11, verse 19, that these scattered disciples, none of whom went to seminary or Bible college, none of them who had college degrees, they went everywhere preaching the word about Jesus Christ. Some of them didn't know any better and even talked to non-Jews. Up to that point, only Jews were being evangelized with the gospel. But some of them went beyond that, and they talked to some Greeks. And what happened? Some of them believed the gospel, and the result was the church at Antioch. They formed the church, and this was the church that sent out the first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, a church started by lay people who went with the gospel. Well, they had been taught. The early church was a teaching church. It's beautiful to see what happened in history. You see, the wise laughed at Christians and said, the idea that these people believe that a bloody, beaten Jew hanging on a cross could be the way to God is absolutely ridiculous. They scoffed at the gospel, but it was God's way, and it was God's wisdom. What was foolishness to man was the wisdom of God. And for that reason, Paul wrote, let him who glories, glory in the Lord. Because Jesus Christ is our wisdom, our sanctification, and our redemption. Years ago, I spoke at a meeting, and I was introduced as an intellectual. I didn't know whether I should laugh or cry about that. I don't consider myself an intellectual, nor am I trying to impress anybody that I am an intellectual. I am simply a man who studies the Bible, tries to learn it, and tries to teach it. I don't want to impress anybody. I want to get the message out. I want to make it clear. My glory is not in my learning, my education, my study. My glory is in Jesus Christ. I share Paul's feelings on this matter. His glory was the cross of Christ, nothing else. Though Paul was a wise man, well-educated, perhaps the best Old Testament scholar of his day, yet he didn't glory in it. He gloried in Christ, our Savior. In closing, I want to say this. If you are trying to get to heaven by doing good works, you obviously don't understand the word grace. Salvation, God has declared, is for those who will stop trying and instead accept God's gift through faith. We have a free booklet that will help you with this critical matter. Write for our Grace Booklet. If you've been blessed by these broadcasts, please tell a friend. And tell us also. Please write and let us know how these broadcasts are blessing you. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.